You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is out today. There's been a huge increase in craft, homemade, small-batch food products in recent years. Homebrewing beer, fermenting foods at home, just a couple of examples. There's also been a move to go back to traditional methods in foods, a move away from the conventional and the modern. Our next guest says we should extend these ideas to cheesemaking, and he's here to talk about it now on Food Friday. And we're taking your calls. Do you make, have you ever made cheese at home? What kind of methods do you use? What kinds of cheese have you made? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. David Asher joins us now. He's the author of The Art of Natural Cheesemaking. He's also an organic farmer, goat herd, and farmstead cheesemaker. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the how, let's get into some of the why. There's a philosophy behind why and how you are making cheese. Can you tell us about that?
All right. So I make cheese differently than most cheesemakers in North America, whereas most cheesemakers in North America rely upon the use of freeze-dried package cultures that they purchase in order to make their cheeses. I keep my own cultures in order to make my cheese. I keep the bacterial cultures that help give life to my cheese, and I grow the fungi and the other cultures that help ripen my cheeses into various varieties that we know and love.
So that's really taking it back to the basics, in effect, growing your own bacteria, your own starters to the cheese. That sounds complicated to me. How hard is it really to do that, though?
It's really not that difficult to do at all. I feel that many of the methods that I use in my cheese making and that I teach in my classes are actually much more approachable than many of the standard methods that are used by cheesemakers today.
And how does one start their own bacterial culture to get into cheese? And we'll get into more specifics as we go on different kinds of cheese. But in general, how do we grow and maintain that culture?
Well, cultures can be really easy to keep at home. The culture that I use in my cheesemaking is a kefir culture. Are you familiar with it?
I have drunk store-packaged kefir. I don't know if it comes from the same kind of methods you're using, though.
It may not. I'm not sure. It depends on the brand. But the kefir culture that I keep at home is like it's kind of like a sourdough starter culture. Mm-hmm. that I feed regularly. I give it milk on a regular basis, and it feeds me back kefir. And that kefir that the kefir culture ferments is what I use as a starter culture for making all of my cheeses.
Now, tell us about the range of cheeses you make. Give us an idea of the varieties you work with.
So I use this this culture to make all sorts of different styles of cheese. I make all sorts of different fresh cheeses, including mozzarella, fresh goat cheese like Chèvre. I also age all sorts of different styles of cheeses. So I make white rind of cheeses like Camemberts and Brie. I make blues, all sorts of different kinds of blue cheeses. I make cheddars, of course, and different styles of Alpine cheese as well.
Now, obviously you enjoy the cheese making and you believe in the work you're doing, but how about that final product? Tell us what makes it different than what we might pick up in a store.
All right, so one of the main differences in using these homegrown cultures in making cheese as opposed to using the packaged freeze-dried cultures is that homegrown cultures contain a much broader diversity of bacteria and other microorganisms in them that help give much more flavor and diversity to the cheeses that result. And so cheeses made with a culture like kefir will have much more breadth of flavor, much more interesting appearance, I think in many ways is much better than cheese that's made using individual cultures that are contained in those freeze-dried packages.
Now, a lot of us are used to all of our dairy products being pasteurized up to certain federal or state standards. So a question people might have is this safe? I'm going to hurt myself or somebody making and eating this stuff myself?
Great question. So I advocate for for a raw milk cheese making. I feel that the traditional methods of making cheese that use raw milk are inherently safe, that cultures would not have developed methods of cheese making reliant upon raw milk if the methods of cheese making weren't safe. Recent scientific publications have shown that the traditional methods of making cheese actually make raw milk safer to drink, that the fermentation processes that the milk goes through as it's being transformed into cheese actually eliminates the risks from many foodborne illnesses such as listeria and E. coli, and a cheese making, a traditional style of cheese making practiced at home or at the dairy can actually make raw milk much, much safer and much, much healthier. Now, the methods that I teach aren't entirely reliant upon raw milk, though, and one can practice a cheese making at home entirely with pasteurized milk, and if they're not willing to take the risk in using raw milk or accessing raw milk, which I think is illegal in raw milk in Wisconsin to purchase from your farmer, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a controversy for years now.
Yeah. I was just visiting the state a couple of weeks ago, and I had a talk with some farmers there about it. If you want to avoid raw milk, the processes can be replicated with pasteurized milk just as well. And using my more natural methods, using the kefir culture as a starter, you can work with pasteurized milk as if it were raw, but without taking any of the associated risks.
We're talking to David Asher. He's the author of the new book, The Art of Natural Cheesemaking. So, David, let's get into some of the practical elements now. If we're going to try to make some of the cheeses, maybe the less complicated ones, what kind of gear do we need? What kind of equipment do we need to get started?
Well, you don't really need all that much to get started. I advocate for a home cheesemaking in which you don't need any specialized tools or equipment to get going. Most of the equipment you need you've already got at home, like pots and pans, wooden spoons and stir sticks and such. The only materials or equipment you really need to buy are the milk, and it's important to go out and source fresh and unprocessed milk as possible, and the rennet, which is an enzyme that helps coagulate the curds out from the whey, which is a little bit hard to find, but that can be purchased online from a number of different cheesemaking supply shops.
And I want to get into one of the recipes, and looking through the book, this is probably how I would get started. It looks like one of the easier ones, the Indian cheese that you can cook with called paneer. I guess you say in the book it's also similar to a queso fresco, a Mexican cheese. Talk us through how that works.
So this cheese is a really, really easy one to make at home, and one I do recommend for people when they're just starting out. And it's more of a cooking process than a cheese-making process, really, in which you take milk, you bring it to nearly a boil, and then you add in a certain amount of vinegar or lemon juice to that boiling milk. And the addition of the acid causes the hot milk to separate out its curds. And the curds that separate out are what will become the cheese. And once they're strained from the hot whey, pressed, they become paneer.
And you've got a quick and easy way to make that press to strain the cheese. Can you tell us about that?
Exactly. You can easily fashion your own cheese press at home by taking two matched yogurt containers, one of which is punched through with holes that will become the cheese form, and the other one that's left whole that will become the cheese press. And the cheese, as it's strained from the pot into a colander to drain most of its whey, is then transferred into the form of the press, the yogurt container with the holes, and then the other yogurt container is placed on top, filled with the warm whey that evolves from the cheese, and that is used to press down as a weight upon the cheese.
We've got that paneer recipe over at the Central Time Facebook page. If you give it a try, let us know how it comes out. And then what are your favorite ways to have paneer? I've had it in Indian cooking, David, and it's just kind of fried up with spinach or other vegetables. What's your recommended serving for the homemade paneer?
Well, paneer is an interesting cheese because it doesn't actually melt. So you can do interesting things with it that you can't do with others. Like you can put it on a skewer and barbecue it, and the cheese won't melt off the skewer. So that's one thing I can recommend. Another thing that you can try with your homemade paneer is to make a grilled cheese sandwich with slices of paneer as the slices of bread and a melty cheese like Swiss cheese on the inside.
A triple cheese sandwich in a way.
That's right, yeah.
And
very doubled down.
And I mentioned it's similar to queso fresco. Would we do anything differently to make that as opposed to the paneer?
The processes are very much the same. You could follow the recipe in exactly the same way, and you could either make paneer or queso fresco. But if you want to give it a really nice Mexican flavor, you can add spices to it like cilantro and chilies, and that'll give it a Mexican flair.
We're talking to Farmstead cheesemaker David Asher about natural cheesemaking at home. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You thinking you might want to give it a try? Do you have some questions? Have you made cheese at home? How did you do it? What did you make? How'd it come out? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. I've got a couple recipes there. The paneer we mentioned, a chèvre, we'll get into in a few moments. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with David Asher, author of The Art of Natural Cheesemaking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have any questions about making cheese at home? Is this something that you've done in your own kitchen? And farmers, we heard from someone on our Central Time Facebook page. You said, hey, Northern Wisconsin farmers, give this a listen. Is this something you've done maybe with the milk from your own cows? Call in and share your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Caleb on the line in Madison. Caleb, hi.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what did you want to bring up, Caleb?
I've had raw milk before, and I've been interested in using it to make cheese, but I've always wondered about rennet, which your guest mentioned, and sort of if there was a way to replicate that myself, or if it can be found or grown in nature as well, to kind of continue that process of natural cheese making.
Caleb, thanks for the question. David, making our own rennet to use in the cheese process.
Great question, Caleb. It's one that I addressed in great detail in my book, and I'll answer your question briefly here. Rennet is something that you can produce yourself at home naturally. There are a number of different plants that you can grow that can help serve as a rennet substitute, and I show how you can use a plant known as cardoon. It's a relative of an artichoke, and the flower petals of this cardoon can be steeped in water, and then that tea can be used as a rennet substitute. I also give instructions in the book on how to produce your own rennet, which is an ingredient that is derived from the fourth stomach of a young calf or a young lamb that has to be slaughtered in order for cheesemakers to gain access to this enzyme that's naturally present on their stomach that helps this young animal digest their mother's milk by transforming it into cheese. I have instructions on how to cure and process that stomach to use the rennet stomach as an aid for cheesemaking.
And that's maybe a bit more effort than a lot of your home cheesemakers are going to go to, I'm guessing.
Likely, yes. Now, rennet can be purchased in processed form, and there's a number of different natural rennets that you can purchase online. I do recommend for a more natural style of cheesemaking to use a rennet that's derived from a calf stomach because it helps cheeses evolve according to their most natural way, whereas alternatives to calf rennet or kid rennet in cheesemaking have some ethical questions to answer.
Caleb, thanks a lot for the call and the question at 800-642-1234. In addition to the paneer we talked about just a little earlier, we also on the Central Time website have a Chev recipe, David. And first of all, before we get to the recipe itself, you're a big fan of goats and their milk. Tell us about that.
That's right. So I feel that that goat's milk is absolutely wonderful for cheese making. It's a milk that is very flavorful when it comes from well-treated animals, and that makes a very flavorful cheese as well, that it doesn't need to go through a very long aging period in order to develop very good flavor. And even fresh cheeses made with goat's milk are much more flavorful than a similar fresh cheese made with cow's milk.
So talk us through how we make Chev.
So Chev is one of the easiest cheeses to make out there. It's one that I recommend for everyone. It's a two-day process, but during most of that time, you don't really have to do anything. The cheese essentially makes itself. And all you got to do to get started is, first of all, source some good, fresh goat's milk. And the fresher it is and the less processed it is, the better. And I really recommend seeking out unhomogenized goat's milk for this process. That makes a huge difference. You can use unhomogenized cow's milk as well, and the process will still work the same, but it won't taste as good because cow's milk doesn't develop the same flavor as it's fermented. So to make Chev, take that fresh, unhomogenized goat's milk and warm it up to a comfortable temperature, about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Add in a small amount of starter culture, and I recommend using a certain amount of kefir culture, but you can also use whey from yogurt or cultured buttermilk. That will work too. Add in a tiny amount of rennet, which we talked about a moment ago, but you can purchase from cheesemaking supply shops online. And it really takes just a tiny, tiny little amount of rennet, just a very small quantity in order to help set the curd. And you leave the curd to set just out at room temperature for about 24 hours. And you just leave it alone. You don't have to worry about keeping it warm or keeping it cool. Room temperature is best. And after 24 hours, the goat's milk will set into a beautiful silky white curd. And all you got to do is take that silky white curd and strain it from the pot into a cheesecloth-lined colander. Let it drain for 4 or 5 hours. Add a certain amount of salt, a small amount of salt to it. Mix it in, and then let it drain for another 1 or 2 hours. And that's it. You've got chèvre.
And you mentioned the salt, and I'm looking at one of your recipes for a chèvre, and it says 4 teaspoons of good salt. Salt is the third key ingredient, sounds like. There's the milk, the rennet, and then the salt. How do we select good salt for cheesemaking?
So just like with most other ingredients, it's important to source as unprocessed salt as you can. The best salts for cheesemaking are unprocessed sea salts or unprocessed rock salts. Any iodized salt won't work very well. Because iodine is an antibacterial agent and can get in the way of the bacterial development of cheese, so table salt is not a good idea. And a coarse salt, like a big rock salt, won't work either. But anything that's fine and unprocessed will be great.
Talking to David Asher about his book, The Art of Natural Cheesemaking. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about making cheese or you've made your own cheese at home, maybe doing similar things to what David does, love to hear about that too at 800-642-1234. Now, a lot of flavor in cheese comes, as I understand it, David, in the aging process. How can we set up our own cheese cave at home to age those kinds of cheese?
So we've all probably had success aging cheeses at home without even realizing it, just in our own refrigerator. And if we've ever left a cheese wrapped in plastic in the refrigerator, we've successfully aged it. The cheese continues to age in the cool and humid environment that you create inside that plastic wrapping inside the refrigerator. Now, there are better ways, of course, to do it. And if you're making your own cheese at home, it's a good idea to set up a sort of mini cheese cave. And you can do this in your own refrigerator fairly easily with a large Rubbermaid or Tupperware container lined with a bamboo sushi mat upon which you place your cheeses inside to age. And with that container sealed, you preserve the integral humidity that's necessary to allow those cheeses to age. And then by placing that container inside of a cool space, like a cellar or an unfinished basement in the wintertime, or in a refrigerator, you can create the cool temperatures that cheeses need to thrive.
Go back to our callers. We've got Chris on the line in La Crosse. Chris, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I had made some stovetop mozzarella using a low pasteurized milk. I tried to make it with the stuff you just get right out of the grocery store, and it didn't seem to coagulate as well. Is there a common place around the La Crosse area that you can get a low pasteurized milk? Because I was in Iowa when I got that.
Chris, thanks for the call. David, I don't know if you know the La Crosse milk buying scene, but what, in general around the country, what's a good way to go out and find less pasteurized milk and also unhomogenized milk for that matter?
So I recommend in Wisconsin, at least, where direct sales from the farmers are legal, and at a lot of different places, the best place to go to get milk from for making cheese is directly from the cow or goat farmer. But if you can't get access to such milk, the next best thing is to find as unhomogenized milk as possible. And typically, the best place to look for that is in natural food stores. They usually carry a broader selection of less processed milks, and often they'll have a milk that's unhomogenized, and often it's labeled as cream line milk or old-fashioned standard milk. And that's what's your best bet for making cheeses like mozzarella at home.
Chris, thanks for the call, and good luck finding that milk and making some mozzarella. Well, David, supposing somebody's said, yeah, maybe, still, I don't know if I want to try this. Can you leave us with a pep talk to try maybe one of the easier recipes and give it a shot?
Yeah, sure. So cheese making is an art that's been practiced at home for millennia. All around the world, people are making fresh cheeses at home without even really thinking about it, just as part of their daily routines. And we have a little bit of a fear here in North America about working with dairy, about leaving milk out at room temperature, in part because of the familiarity we have with pasteurized milk, which essentially needs to be kept in the refrigerator in order to keep it from souring and going off. But when milk is handled in the right way, when it's treated in the right way, it ferments naturally into cheese with remarkable ease. Like, it really doesn't take much to help milk evolve into cheese. And really, you just have to guide the milk along in the process and provide the conditions that it needs to do so. And the making of cheese can really be a breeze if you follow more natural traditional recipes like those outlined in my book.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, no problem. It's great to be here.
That was David Asher, author of The Art of Natural Cheesemaking. He's an organic farmer, goat herd, and farmstead cheesemaker, joining us for Food Friday. You can see his recipes for homemade paneer, that Indian-style cheese that you can cook with, doesn't melt, and for chèvre on the Central Time website. Go to wpr.org/centraltime.